Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Erin, and joining me this morning is Lauren Peters from UC Davis and the Alaska Native representative at Fort Ross in California, here to talk about bringing children home. Lauren, thank you so much for joining me this morning for the morning interview.
Thank you for having me.
So you're going to be giving a couple different presentations of talks in the coming couple days at Pacific High School and for the community. What are you speaking on? What's your main story to be told?
So about 4 years ago, I got a phone call from a local here, Bob Sam, and he told me that there were Alaska Native kids that were buried at Carlisle Indian School in Pennsylvania, and 14 of them were in the cemetery, Alaska Native kids in the cemetery at Carlisle, and that five of them were from my region, which is the Aleutian Islands and mm-hmm. Kodiak, and he asked me if I could find their families. The first name he gave me was Sophia Titoff, who is my relative from St. Paul Island.
That feels very fate, you know. Yes. of all the names, the first name happened to be one of your family. So I guess, I mean, that is quite a story in and of itself of just a family from St. Paul, from the Aleutians, ending up in Pennsylvania. I can't even imagine the whole process of her heading all the way out there. When did this happen that Bob told you about Sophia, and how was that process in getting her back?
Well, Bob told me about 2017. Sophia and her sister Irene were orphaned in about 1895. Mm-hmm. The following summer, they were taken by the Methodist missionaries to the Jesse Lee home in Unalaska. About 4 years later after that, Irene died, and they sent Sophia to Carlisle Indian School. Mm. And all the schools up here in Alaska were, of course, run by Sheldon Jackson, another local.
Yeah.
So it all happens right here. Mm-hmm. What was the second part of that question?
Oh, just of getting, so you learn in 2017 yes. about her. It's not something of just like you can show up and be like, hey, actually, she's my relative. Right. Can we take her home?
Yeah.
It's because there's government involved in this.
Right. So the Carlisle Indian Cemetery is run by the U.S. Army mm-hmm. under Arlington Cemeteries. And so once I found out about Sophia, the Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition had a roundtable, and about 60 tribes showed up for the roundtable in Minnesota. And we learned the process of how to get our child home. And the mm-hmm. Army gave a presentation and gave us all the paperwork. And basically, it wasn't a NAGPRA, which is Native American Graves Repatriation Act mm-hmm. Process. It was considered a family matter. And so the closest living relative to Sophia could bring her home. And so I went to my auntie's, and we filled out the paperwork. Sophia and her sister Irene at that time were lost to the tribe. Nobody knew about her. They were orphaned. They were sent away. The genealogy said away at school up until 5 years after she died. Mm-hmm. So it took a little while to do the research to find her on my end and to find her on the tribe's end. Mm-hmm. And then we filled all the paperwork. And except for a little glitch called COVID, it took about 4 years to get her home.
Four years to bring her home after, goodness, of her being away for over a century.
Yes.
Over a century away. So with... Bob Sam said there was about a little over a dozen children who were at Carlisle. What happens to those other children?
It's up to the family. So there are 14 kids, Alaska Native kids, mm-hmm. out of 186 kids in the cemetery at Carlisle. The families, all the 14 kids' families have been notified, okay. so they know about them now. There are people from here in Sitka that have been trying to get their kids home for a very long mm-hmm. time. It's difficult, and families have to be in agreement to bring their child home. Mm-hmm. And some of the kids are buried in unmarked graves. They're not unmarked graves. They're marked, but they say unknown, and they mm-hmm. know that their kids are in there. They're not sure which one.
Yeah.
And so that you know, makes it even more difficult to get your child home.
Right. Yeah. Of you hope it's your child, but
right.
you can't be 100% sure. So you don't want to be taking someone else's child.
Well, and you're not 100% sure, yeah. Even when you have a marked grave with a database that matches, and there's, you know, archaeologists and anthropologists involved, and they are respectful and they try to be as gentle and as possible, but it's still it's quite traumatic, the process. Yeah.
Okay. So with Sophia coming home, that what was it like when she did finally get back home?
Yes, it was the whole town turned out to the airport, and my oldest son, Andrew, was the pallbearer. Mm-hmm. My younger son, Lucas, carried the cross. She was paraded around the town and into past the house that she was born into and my mom was born into, and into the church that everybody gone to for generations and generations. It's given a full mass, and then put to sleep in the cemetery next to her other relatives.
Wonderful to bring you back home.
Yeah.
So the two talks you're going to be giving in the next couple of days, one being to Pacific High School, one to the general public. What sort of talk is this going to be? Is this going to be more of a for the families here who are trying to get children back home, this is, you know, these are the tips and tricks of the trade, or are we talking more of just information for folks who might not know a bit, like for folks like myself, who this is something that I know has happened, but I don't have that, I guess, real deep understanding or connection to the impact that this has had on hundreds, if not thousands, of families throughout the state.
Right. 100 years ago, 83% of all Native children were at these boarding schools. Mm-hmm. The Department of the Interior has named 408 of them in the U.S. alone. The Department of the Interior thinks that there's 21 in Alaska. And all of these have their own child cemeteries. Mm-hmm. These numbers are very preliminary and very low. The BIA in Alaska thinks that there's at least 20 more in Alaska alone, again, with their own child cemeteries. So one is raising awareness. Mm-hmm. Two is, you know, like you said, non-Indigenous people don't realize that, you know, we have this lovely boarding school here at Mount Edgecombe. Sheldon Jackson was very well-loved, I believe, that the college here was very well-loved. And other schools were not as nice. You know, they were really rough. And so just to raise awareness, I also want to express my gratitude to the other families that have been working on getting their kids home from Carlisle for decades. Oh. And haven't been able to yet, and acknowledging their frustration, and you know, it's just, and like you said, it is also a roadmap of Sophia's the first child from Alaska to come home, and to show the other people that there is a process for it, and it's very doable.
And it clearly takes patience and fortitude to have to. I mean. For years on your end of about 4 years with folks in Sitka, you said close, you know, a decade's worth of struggle, but the end being definitely worth the means of getting someone back home. For getting her home, for like the logistics and things, how much of it seems like at least for the burden of proof is put very solely on the family, on the tribe of, yes, proof, this she's one of ours. How does it work to get someone back home, the actual physical feat of it?
Yeah, we were very lucky that we had a marked grave. We had a database that backed it up. We had local knowledge that Bob Sam was willing to share with families that these children exist and they need to come home. Mm-hmm. It's a 4,000-mile journey, and it was a 4,000-mile journey for Sophia going the other way, which took about 3 to 4 weeks for her to go from Unalaska to Carlisle. It took a full 3 days with perfect weather for my sons and I to go get her and to come back to St. Paul. And it's a very expensive process. Mm-hmm. And the Army will reimburse about, the direct cost for two of you to go get your child and come back. But it ends up only being about two-thirds of what the actual costs are. It's quite a process.
Well, it's a labor of love and clearly worth it. And it's wonderful that you're able to come and share your story and have it be a success story. It's not that you are bogged down in a quagmire and couldn't get it to work. She's home, and there are many other students who are going to be able to come home too. So to have you speaking on not only the process of it, but the hope of it, that's pretty powerful stuff. And I think that's really awesome that with giving it to Pacific High School students too, of letting them have a closer understanding and idea of what this means, and for the rest of the community as well. So this you'll be giving us the talk tomorrow, Saturday, at the Nakahiti at 6 p.m. Are you going to be around for questions folks might have too about your whole experience?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'll be here.
Wonderful. Well, goodness, we're out of time this morning, but Lauren Peters, thank you so much for coming in for the morning interview this morning and for coming here to Sitka to share your story and to share Sophia's story.
Yeah, thank you for having me.